You have your Bibles, hope you do. Let's go to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. In the news recently, there was the story of an emergency medical technician who was on his truck. They had just been on a call. They weren't bringing anybody back. But he was headed back to his station. And along the way, somebody flagged them down. Stop, stop. And they said, you've got to help this little girl. Apparently, she was having a seizure. Nobody knew what to do. And so the EMT got out, raced over to where the little girl was, and tried to help her the best that he could. Now, he knew the company policy. Company policy was this, and it's the company policy of most emergency medical teams, and that is you don't go and touch anybody unless somebody has called it in and it's been approved. And yet here was a case of a man who said, I have a purpose in working here, and my purpose is to save lives if I can. And that was very clear in his mind. Now, I know that there were other purposes involved. For an example, he wanted a paycheck. And that's why most people go to certain jobs. They want the paycheck. But that was not above everything else. The one thing that was the highest purpose of all was his desire to save lives. And so he stopped the truck, he got out, he helped the girl. And when he got back to the station and the story came out, the company fired him because they said that he violated company policy. So it cost him his job. But here's a man who's very purpose-driven. A lot of people think that that a person's purpose in life really is taken over by their job or their education or responsibilities to family or whatever. A lot of excuses are being used today. Bottom line is God has given to every one of us a purpose. We exist for a reason. He made us for a reason. God doesn't just do things arbitrarily and say, well, I just felt like doing it. Doesn't have any purpose to it. There it is. No, that isn't the way God operates. You are alive today because God gave you a purpose. Now, the world has some bad purposes. And the world wants you to be overwhelmed by their philosophies, by their attitudes, by their thinking. And I think that one of the really serious things that has happened and has overwhelmed most Christians today is the idea that if something is made law, that every Christian has to follow it, that it's right. And they point to a scripture in Romans that says we're supposed to follow the laws of man. In its context, it does not say that we should follow all the laws of man. As a matter of fact, if you're a student of history, you know that all the disciples, all the apostles, rather, were martyred because they broke the laws of Rome. That's why Paul was sent from one court to another court to another court. It's because he broke the law. It was against the law at that time to preach Jesus Christ. It was against the law at that time to claim that Jesus was the king. They did it anyway. Simply being a law does not mean that something is right. And just because it is a man-made law doesn't mean that Christians have to abide by it. Let me just share with you the thinking of this world. In Acts chapter 27, Paul is shipwrecked. And In verse 40, it says, when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. And falling into a place where the two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. Here's where the world philosophy comes in. The soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners. Well, we don't want them escaping. We don't want them getting out there. Let's just take their lives. You have to realize, here were people who, some of them were just pickpockets. Some of them for what we would call today white-collar crime, where they had stolen some money, embezzled funds or whatever. Some of them didn't pay their taxes. And then there was Paul. Paul was on that ship. And he was there because he had preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And along comes the world's philosophy held by the soldiers that said, we need to kill these people rather than to allow them to escape. It says, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Now, did you notice the Bible points this out as being the soldier's purpose? The soldier's purpose. I mean, since when does it become the purpose of a person to take lives? I mean, even if you're a soldier, the idea of just taking lives arbitrarily for no good reason. I mean, if you have an enemy to fight, that's one thing. But simply to take lives because you can is a horrible thing. But that's the world's purpose. People are no longer considered valuable. I want you to think about some of the laws that have existed. For an example, in Nazi Germany, it was legal to send Jews to the gas camps. That was a law. It's perfectly acceptable. It was a law that protected the citizens if they decided to smash in a Jewish store and rob from it. Citizens are protected. Does that make it right? No. In Rome, it was legal to torture and kill Christians. You may recall that Saul, while he was going on the Damascus Road, had a document in hand, a legal document that said it gave him the right to go in and persecute Christians. Did that make it right? Simply because it was a law? No. But you see, so many Christians today have been brainwashed and say, well, you know, we have laws in our land. This is a country of laws. We have a system of laws. We seem to forget what is actually on the Department of Justice, written there in stone, engraved in stone. And it says, Department of Justice. Now, there is a difference between justice and blind, cold law. And you hear different presidents making this statement, oh, we're a country of laws. Now, we're a country that is dedicated to justice, and there is a difference. We look at the attitude, the mentality of these soldiers. Paul would have been killed if they carried out their purpose. That was their purpose, not God's. This world has a warped sense of values. It always has, but it's been it has been covered up in America. And people with the wrong ideas have been held in closets for a long time. until recently. And now America thinks like the rest of the world, and they're proud of it. The world just doesn't care about human life. But God's people should, because we have a different purpose. And our purpose of being here is to serve God in a way that would help people to have everlasting life, to bring to them the one message that they need to decide upon that would bring them life eternal. Over in 1 Kings chapter 5, if you'll turn there. 1 Kings chapter 5. Here is a man, and I don't know about you, but this baffles me at times. When you consider the intelligence of Solomon, even as a young man in his early teens, very smart guy. And David had no problems unraveling the entire plans of the temple and explaining to young Solomon what was to be done, how it was to be done. He didn't have any problem with all the details, the architectural details of this. So you know he had to be a very, very clever guy. And then when he said to the Lord, didn't ask for riches, didn't ask for fame, he asked for more wisdom that he could judge Israel. Then you say, there's a young person on the right track. He's going to do something with his life. God's going to work through him. But, you know, something happened. I want to see in chapter 5 and verse 5. where Solomon is hiring people, he's getting the logistics of how he can bring all these pieces and parts together and build the temple. In verse 5 he says, "And behold, I purpose to build a house unto the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord spake unto David my father, saying, thy son, whom I will set upon thy throne in thy room, he shall build a house unto my name." So Solomon had a purpose. I want to build this house. I want to glorify God. I want his name to be lifted up in my life. I want people to be able to see this. A very noble purpose. I want you to go over to chapter 11, 1 Kings. Chapter 11. Verse 3, again talking about Solomon, it says, "And he had 700 wives." Right there, you know something happened to his wisdom. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. How tragic. There are people who go after a purpose for a while, and they lose sight of it. Some of you may have had a very clear purpose in your life at one time, to serve God, to put God first, and things came along. I've known of many people down through the years, and I can give testimony after testimony of what happened to them, where they started out on fire for God and said, "Nothing's going to hinder me. I'm going to give my all to the Lord. This is my purpose for living. I want to serve God." They got families. They got houses. They got cars. They got all sorts of stuff, and before very long, you find that they had to spend so much of their time taking care of their stuff that they had no longer enough time to serve God. Their purpose was changed. Now, we have to ask ourselves, where do we stand in all this? For some people, there are some Christians who go 40, 50 years into their lives and still don't know what purpose does God have for them. Some of them were saved when they were in children's church or Sunday school, and they go all those years without realizing, yes, God has a purpose for me. You know, there's an old saying, about purpose, and the world's purpose is, you know, go a day, get a dollar. You know, the idea that you go to work day after day after day, same thing, drudgery. You go through the monotonous routines day after day after day. And people say, well, you know, that's my life. I got to make a living. Well, you have to make a living, it's true. But God has a purpose. God has a purpose. And you can make a living, but make sure you understand what your purpose is. Well, one of the things that affects every one of us, because healthcare today has become perhaps the number one topic, except for short periods of time where ISIS gets in there. Healthcare. Think about the purpose that your doctor has. I'm sure that every one of us would be much more comfortable with a doctor that we knew had a purpose of helping physical lives. I think we would be very pleased to go to a doctor who had knowledge, who had gone through medical school, who had done all the additional work to become an expert in his field, and you walk into his office, he's concerned about you. But what do we find in the majority of cases? The majority of cases don't even know you, care about you. They're more concerned about your Medicare number or your insurance number than they are you as an individual. Why? Wrong purpose. Wrong purpose. What should our purpose be? I mean, we almost get a bad taste in our mouths, thinking that, oh, I'm going to this doctor, but he's just interested in the insurance money. He's going to go through this test and that test is unnecessary. He's going to give me this and give me that because and it's unnecessary, but he does it because he can rack up money with my insurance company. I saw somebody's emergency room bill this week. They were in and out of the emergency room in 20 minutes. $1,700. No procedures. Nothing. Just in and out of the emergency room. Somebody has a purpose. Somebody has a purpose. But wouldn't you feel so much better when you go to a doctor that says, I'm concerned about you. I care about you. Forget the money. Let's just look at you and what you need. Man, that would be so refreshing. But you know, most doctors have your office visit timed. Depending on the doctor, he could spend 3, 5, or 7 minutes with you. That's the maximum he's going to do because he can't make enough money otherwise if he spends any more time with you. So he's got to move from one room to another in a certain amount of time, and that's how they make their money. It isn't on the basis of, wait a second, I'm not getting the whole story. How many people are being treated for things unnecessarily because the doctor didn't get the whole story? Didn't have time to get it because his purpose was to make money. Now, I mention that as an example. There's so many others, but I mention it as an example because it affects everybody. And it's something that probably you have looked at some point or another when it comes to your own medical care. Do I have somebody that has the purpose of caring about me or not? And then you look at our own lives. Where God puts us. We're in a neighborhood. We're in a place where God has a purpose for us. Where we're placed into a family where God has a purpose for us. Do we lose sight of that? Or is it simply something that we just take for granted? I mean, let's stop for a second and realize the options that God has. You could have been born in Kenya, Africa. You could have been born in a little village with no running water. You could have been born in a place where, although they have cell phones, they have no other luxuries. They don't have indoor plumbing. But you were born here. Does God do things for a purpose? Yes. There is a uniqueness to every individual. And for every individual, God sets down a purpose for them that is lifelong. It isn't something that's flittering here one minute and then it's gone the next. I've known of a couple preachers in my life that have retired, and one of them emailed me and said, "My purpose for life is complete now, and now I can enjoy life." And I thought, how strange. His purpose for life is complete? He's still here. That means he still has a purpose. He hasn't fulfilled that purpose yet. Otherwise, if your purpose is done, hey, you're out of here. As a Christian, guess what? God's going to take you. When you have completed everything that God wants done for you and fulfilled that purpose, you're out of here. You're with the Lord. You know, not all religious purposes please God. Some people live for a particular phase of religious tradition. When I lived in Philadelphia and lived on in a row house, our neighbor, and you learn everything about the neighbors there. You can hear them sneeze three walls down. And yet, so you know everything that's going on. Our next door neighbor was a precious lady who every morning walked to her church. And it was a Catholic church. She went there for early mass every single morning. And one day I asked her about this. I mean, I was just a kid. I was curious, why? And she says, "Because this is something that I just wanted to do. I promised God that I'd do it. And this is my purpose, that every day I would do this." And that word purpose stood out. It was her purpose to have early mass, she called it. You know, when we take the Lord's Supper, it's more than just a tradition. It's the opening of a deeper fellowship with the Lord, a reminder of the body and blood of Christ that should make us want to come closer to Him. Our purpose in taking the Lord's Supper should be one of, I want to get closer to the Lord. That should be the purpose. And this precious lady next door, as long as I was there, every single morning, she walked all the way to church, and the church was quite a ways away. Her purpose wasn't right. Even though it was religious, it wasn't right. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11, it says, "To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I'm full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats." Lord said, "Israel, you're doing things automatically. It isn't something you think about. It isn't something that has a purpose behind it of getting closer to me. It's a ritual, and that's all that there is to it." And God wasn't pleased. You know, there's a difference between a vain ritual and a good habit. A good habit looks at the benefits. A good habit reevaluates itself over and over again and says, how can something good come through this? And one good habit is to wake up in the morning and seek the Lord. One good habit is, before you even get out of bed, while you're just kind of dozy, Say, Lord, this is your day. You've given me life. I'm going to rejoice in this day, and I'm going to serve you in this day. And then go further. Get into some scripture after you get up out of bed. Spend some time praying for one another, praying for the missions overseas, praying that God would supply the needs so that we can reach out more and more. But that's a good habit. And when you look at getting up in the morning and say, all right, now I have a strong purpose set in front of me. And that is, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to glorify Him. If I go off to work, I'm not going over there just for the paycheck. My purpose is to serve God. When I go to the store, it isn't just to accumulate things to bring back to the kitchen. My purpose is to glorify the Lord. You'd be amazed at the number of doors God will open for you. You go to the store and you start out, Lord, I'm not going here just to get stuff, even though it's needed. I'm going to get it, but my purpose in going to the store is to glorify you. You'd be amazed. The Lord's going to bring people in your path that you need to talk to, you need to testify to. You'd be amazed at how that happens. But God will do it. You get up in the morning and go to school. A lot of our young people, we just had a bunch of them back in my office before Sunday school. Yet young men that are looking ahead to what their lives hold, what God wants for them. And you know, they're going to school, but their purpose is not simply to gain an education. My purpose is to glorify God. Listen, once you become a Christian, your purpose is no longer the worldly purposes. Your purpose is to serve God. Everything changes when you get saved because you come to the realization that God didn't have to make you to begin with. That He put you down here on this planet where you are with the purpose of serving Him there. Fulfilling purposes require the right timing. There are a lot of people today that don't give a lot of thought to how and when they do things. I just want to read this scripture. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 17. It says this, I said in my heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every purpose and every work. There's a time for every purpose and every work. Now, some of you say, yeah, but I can't get around to everything. Not enough time in the day. Need to evaluate your to-do list. Your purpose is to serve God. That's number one. Look at your priorities. If you can't get around to all the things that you say you're supposed to do, you've got too many things on your list. Because God's going to hold you accountable for what you accomplish. And out of those things that you accomplish, if you don't get your purpose in there as number one, then you're going to have an awful lot of explaining when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Listen, there are other people who get the job done. There are other people who accomplish in 24 hours what God wants them to accomplish in 24 hours. We've accepted the world's idea of, oh, I've been shortchanged. There aren't enough hours in the day. That's the world speaking. God gave you 24 hours and not 1 minute more. Because He knew that you could accomplish in that period of time what His purpose was. Now, what happens is most of the time we add on a whole bunch of other things. Well, they expect me to do this, or this person expects me to do that, or I'm going to disappoint this person if I don't do this. What about disappointing God? Does that matter? What about pleasing God? Now, sometimes pleasing God means going out and pleasing somebody else. But you've got to have the top priority so that you know whether that's the case or not. There is a time for every purpose. There's time to accomplish the purpose of God in everybody's life. I mean, there's not a person here who has less than 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not one. All of us have the same time. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to say, what did you do? Not what you planned. Oh, listen, if there was a reward for planning, boy, some of you would be living in houses of just filled with rewards of gold in heaven. But God doesn't base his rewards on planning. He bases his rewards on what we have done. Not even what we intended to do, but based on what we have done. So our purpose is a major, major factor in what we actually accomplish. Now, some people have a purpose that is so enduring that people get to know you by your purpose. We've lost, a couple generations back, that generation of people who, when they died, everybody would agree, no matter whether they were saved, not saved, whatever, they would agree. Listen, if there ever was a Christian, that person was it. I haven't heard that in so long. You know why? Because when you have the right kind of purpose and you live it, people can see it. But today the world thrusts so many things on us and we feel that we have to carry it instead of dumping it down and throwing it back at them. We have so many things on us that we can't fulfill the purpose of God. There's a guy in Scripture. He's mentioned several times. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 22, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And he's talking about a fellow who followed the purposes of God, and he was faithful in that. And he became known to all the believers as a person with a purpose, and they knew what that purpose was. Ephesians 6:22, it says, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts." Talking about a guy by the name of Tychicus. And again, he mentions him in the letter to the church at Colossae, Colossians 4:8. He says, "Whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he may know your estate and comfort your hearts." When Tychicus came, everybody knew, here's the purpose. We're going to get blessed. We're going to get strengthened. When Tychicus comes, we're going to get comforted. The Holy Spirit's going to work through him, touch lives. People are going to get changed. When Tychicus comes, we know that this is going to happen. Why? Because Tychicus had a reputation, like former generations who lived for the Lord. And people could point to them and say, they were the saints of God. They were Christians. Today, it's sad. I mean, as a pastor, I see this probably more than you do. Or at least I'm more aware of it than you are, because I have to do funeral messages. And I don't just read something out of a book and say, well, this applies to everybody, because it doesn't. And I have to look at an individual and say, why can't I say what they used to say about people? That they were, if there ever was a Christian, they were it. If there ever was a saint of God that lived the Christian life, they were it. You know, and I deal with preachers all the time, so this is something that I guess it's a preacher thing. You talk to other preachers and say, okay, how do you deal with funerals now? And the stories that come back are so difficult. A lot of the pastors now have gone to books because they don't want to come up with anything that really applies to the individual at a funeral. They just read something that somebody else wrote and do it every time, same way, over and over and over again. We live at a time when so many people, even Christians, have fits. They have anger. They get upset over things because they've accepted the world's ideas and it's confused them. It's made them mad. It's got them off course. They've lost their sense of purpose. And so many, even Christians now, are on psychotropic drugs because Jesus isn't enough for them. That's what they've been told. Oh, it's so much easier to pop a pill than it is to spend an hour in prayer. And then they want pastors to say, oh, if there ever was a Christian, that was it. The purposes of the world have strangled Christian testimonies. The purposes of the world are to destroy your Christian testimony. The world has in mind certain things that, you know, they're out for the wrong thing. I'll give you an example. And this is one of so many. And some of you I know have worked in different doctors' offices and so on. You know what I'm talking about. A lot of doctors will prescribe a medication, let's say Motrin, that has, let's say, 500 milligrams of Motrin. And you have to get a prescription. All right? They're going to bill your insurance company because they had to write out a prescription. I'm not going to go into what the pharmaceutical companies give them in payback, but there are a lot of things involved, and so they write out this thing, 500 milligrams of Motrin you have to take, and you got to pay a huge amount, or your insurance company does, for this prescription. Now, you only end up paying, if you have insurance, only a couple bucks, but somebody pays for it. This is exactly the same stuff you can buy off the shelf and just take two tablets instead of getting the one. Why do doctors do that? Because their purpose is wrong. You see, the world out there influences people so much. Now, this is why you don't see so many dedicated Christians, is because one by one they're getting knocked over with the world's purposes. You and I have a purpose as born-again people to live for Christ. Our purpose is to exalt Him. Let people see the power of His Spirit, the power of His comfort, the power of His wisdom working in our lives. That is what God wants us to do. And it takes its form in many different ways. But it's something that every one of us who are saved are called to do. That's our purpose. And we can do it through the job. We can do it through school. We can do it through our relatives. We can do it in our neighborhoods. Everybody's situation is different. But we have a higher calling than simply to accept the world's purpose. That kicks us back to the level of mercenaries, whether they're medical mercenaries or what, who only do things for the sake of money. That isn't what God wants from us. I'd like for you, if you would, to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3.
Verse 7, it says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, talking about Christ, is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, and for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, I don't want to get into anything real deep here, but in the Greek it doesn't say that if you just sin once, then you're of the devil after you're saved. Before you're saved, yep, you gave yourself to the devil. After you're saved, if you sin, don't forget Jesus shed his blood for all our sins, every one of them. And so we are forgiven. But what this literally says is he that keeps on committing sin over and over and over again. In other words, you don't get a handle on it. You don't commit it to God. That shows the person isn't saved. Because you and I know that as Christians, we don't want to do what's wrong. We want to do what's right. And if there's something wrong in our lives, we don't want to keep on doing it. We want to stop it. And God sent his precious Holy Spirit into us to give us the power. But after we have one victory, there's something else that I got to work on. And we're going to be working on stuff till Jesus calls us home. But he says that the purpose of God was manifested. He wanted to destroy the works of the devil. One of the works of the devil is to hold people in bondage. One of the works of the devil is to confuse people. One of the works of the devil is to throw so many things on their shoulders and hope that they won't once think about their purpose for being alive. That's the objective of the devil. He wants people overwhelmed. You know, the Bible talks about liberty and freedom in Christ. And one of the liberties and freedoms that we have in Christ is throwing off our shoulders, throwing out of our lives so many things that everybody else piles in. And we feel obligated. Your obligation is to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody else died for your sins. Nobody else can get you into heaven. Nobody else loves you like Jesus does. Your number one priority and purpose is to glorify him. If you're here today and you don't realize why Jesus came, maybe you thought it was to create a religion. Maybe you thought that he went to the cross to try to prove something. No, his purpose for coming down here was to die. His purpose as the Lamb of God was to go to that cross and shed his blood to pay for your sins and my sins. Now, even though he paid for them doesn't mean that everybody's going to heaven. It's kind of like somebody out of the graciousness of their hearts, they say, you know, I see that you need a car. I'm going to the dealership. I'm paying for it. Need to pick it up. You know, a lot of people haven't picked up salvation yet. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many as received him. You got to go to that dealership and pick up that car. You've got to go to Jesus and by faith receive that salvation that Jesus paid for. You've got to receive from the heart what God has for you. Everlasting life, forgiveness, a love you can't get anywhere else. And then you've got purpose. Let's bow in a word of prayer, shall we? In a few moments, we're going to have an invitation. I'd like to invite you to come. If the Holy Spirit's spoken to your heart, if the Word of God has opened your eyes to some areas in your life where you need to get some things worked out with the Lord, now's the time to do it, not to put it off. You know what's going to happen if you try to put it off. Now's the time while God's dealing with you. And if you're here today and you've never really received the Lord as your Savior, even though many times you may have asked God for forgiveness, but deep down inside you know you're not a different person. The Bible tells us this, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. God makes you new when you come to him by faith. But you see, a lot of people mentally receive the knowledge of the Lord without receiving the person of the Lord. You can know about somebody without knowing them personally. Today, Jesus wants you to know him personally. The Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. From the heart today, God wants you to reach out and receive that salvation that has been waiting for you. He paid for it. He's ready to deliver it to your life. He's ready to forgive you of all your sins and give you everlasting life. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you that we can open our Bibles and know that it's true. The world has so many voices that are confusing. The world has so many purposes. And they want to lay those things heavily upon us. But Lord, you have a clear purpose for every person. You've given us life. Out of all the things that you could have done, you made us when you didn't have to. And you made us so that we can have life and serve you. Father, I pray that today we get our focus right, we'd see our purpose, and that we glorify you in everything that we do. Lord, if there are those here today who need to receive Jesus as Savior, Lord, I pray that they wouldn't put it off. I pray that you'd motivate them today to receive by faith what you promised to give to them. And then, Lord, I pray for those Christians that are here that need to get their priorities right, who need to see their purpose as coming from you, not from everybody else telling them what they need to do, but from you. And I pray, Lord, that they might be blessed with that freedom and liberty that you can give them here today. Father, we thank you for what you'll do. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit that drives the truth home to our hearts and minds. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? We invite you to come.